On December 22, 2005, U.S. Senators Gordon Smith, a Republican, and Ron Wyden, a Democrat, announced that Oregon would receive $67.3 million in Defense Department contracts relating to nanotechnology research and development. Both Smith and Wyden declined numerous interview requests for this series. However, U.S. Representative Darlene Hooley did give a brief definition of nanotechnology and its role in Oregon's future.
And then in nanotechnology, the state has said, we want this to be the centerpiece of new research, and it's a cooperative effort between the universities. It's located at in Corvallis at Oregon State. But it is, how do you do lots of things with little tiny, tiny things, is what nanotechnology is all about. And it has, again, military applications, but it has applications for our everyday life.
Brian Bogart, a graduate student and researcher in peace studies at the University of Oregon, says there's more to it than that. Nanotech figures prominently in the U.S. military's future war strategy.
Part of that strategy involves something called reachback, which means remote control of every aspect of war, including human soldiers. And that's where nanotechnology comes in. Nanotechnology is a wonderful science. It could be used to clean up the world and give us all alternative energy and health care and all kinds of things. But in the United States, nanotechnology and all the other sciences are funneled through the Department of Defense first, and the public gets benefits later on after people have died.
Smith and Wyden's December nanotechnology press release lists 23 separate projects and their new Defense Department grants. The projects include research into cures for the Ebola and Marburg viruses and the HemCon hemorrhage control bandage. Also included in the nanotech cash flow is $2 million to the University of Oregon's Brain, Biology, and Machine Science Initiative for interdisciplinary research related to cognitive neuroscience, genetics research, and informatics. Much of this research is directed toward optimizing performance by military personnel. For example, allowing a soldier to continue fighting without sleep for a week or after an injury by blocking brain receptors from registering pain using microchips implanted in the brain. Bogart's analysis on U.S. war spending goes back to the 19th century. But he pegs the birth of the military-industrial complex during the presidency of Harry S. Truman.
Just after World War II, our industries faced a second depression. The military industry in particular was crashing, and they came begging our federal government for help. And so secretly, the Truman administration enshrined the arms industry as our economic engine. Instead of human progress, they decided to make corporate profit the backbone of America. And ever since then, we've been reproducing conflicts around the world in order to feed our economic machine. The United States basically runs on conflict around the world.
Dave Mazza, editor of the Portland Alliance, has spent several years researching where the war money goes in our local economy and the difficulty in shutting off that cash flow.
But what we do have is this new facet of what we call the warfare state, which is a real weaving in of defense needs with the broader economy, to the point where sometimes it's almost difficult to tell where defense dollars are going. So you have a company that may be providing a new type of bandage that fire bureaus can use with their emergency technicians that stops hemorrhaging quickly. And that's their primary market. But they're now also selling to the military for use in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's easy to say, okay, we know this plant is making tanks, and we want to convert it to building refrigerators and washing machines. But in many cases now, the defense dollars are spread out in a way that, you know, to cut those dollars off suddenly would have a real jolt on our economy, a real downturn. And how we would, you know, compensate for that is not quite clear.
In part four of this series, the payoff. How much pork barrel money is coming into the state of Oregon, and how is it taking away from real economic development? For KBOO News, Stephanie Potter, Rabia Yeaman, Shirley Wentworth, Lisa Loving, and Martha Odom reporting.